All right, I hope you guys are well rested this weekend because there is a ton to get into, both locally here with the Toronto Maple Leafs, nationally, right across 32 teams in total, and maybe a couple of minutes for Sammy to cry about the Buffalo Bills. But it all kind of started Friday night, and we'll get into that in our Leaf Hour edition. Also joining us in about 35 minutes, Craig Simpson, former NHLer, Stanley Cup champion, always a great guest to cover off the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then in our National Hour, Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. Is he coming in studio or we got him on?
Human, so we can only imagine what his hair will look like.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. But hope it was a good weekend.
Good weekend.
I played hockey twice.
Oh, my God.
For the Toronto Maple Leaf alumni.
How was
and I'm not done
that?
Yet. Yeah. I'm going to work tonight in support of the Toronto Maple Leafs, a night with the blue and white casino style in support for the MLSE Foundation.
If I give you $20, will you play some hands of blackjack for me?
I will. Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
Let's do it.
And no matter what it is, I'm hitting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right
Hold
now.
Hold on. I don't know about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We need we're some strategy.
Aggressive. We're really, really aggressive. So I promised York University goalies Matt Tovell and Alex Chu, York University goaltenders who came out yesterday during our outdoor skate down by the lakeshore.
Cool.
Which was fantastic.
Oh, good day for it. Wasn't that cool?
And they were great. I beat Chewy with a redirect to open up the scoring. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might take the day off.
Do you put it in off your shin, off your knee with a gentle kicking motion?
Ooh. Is that the difference of the hockey game Saturday night for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Well, listen, wherever you are watching and listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus, we're glad you are around. The Toronto Maple Leafs, as Justin just said, got totally hosed.
And before you get in there, I also just want to wish a very happy birthday to my lovely wife. It's her birthday today,
so nice.
At home chilling with a cup of coffee, surely watching us.
Yes.
Of course.
Right? And not a show.
Happy birthday,
Severance.
Bree.
Yeah, happy birthday to Breezy.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Hockey.
Okay, so I got a chance to watch the game because I was in Oshawa Saturday night. We were beating the Boston Bruins alumni. That was just, I hope I didn't undress Ray Bourque too many times Saturday night.
Was it the Mario Lemieux putting it through his skates while he was going the wrong way, sort of dangle?
Yeah,
who else? Actually, our guest today or tomorrow, Brad May dangled him. Was it
yes.
not May?
No, May was in the outdoor game. He did not come to Oshawa, but a shout out to everybody that showed up there. I think we had over 4,000 people there.
But hold on, the May Day goal, was it not Ray Bourque that he put it through Bourque's
oh,
in
yes.
overtime?
Okay.
Right, that was
okay.
the May Day.
Yes,
May
right.
Day. I thought it was Bourque. Yeah.
And Andy Moog,
there
if I'm
go.
Not mistaken.
So I think we have Brad May coming on tomorrow.
We do.
Not to so
we,
get ahead
we got
of the
a,
show.
We got a great week. So I did not watch the game live, but I got a chance to revisit it. Therefore, I'd like to get you guys starting your thoughts first on... Basically, what you got out of a 2-1 Ottawa Senator win.
You know, I'll just say that if Matthews, Marner, Nylander, if those guys don't score goals, they don't win games. And it's black and white, and they didn't score a bunch of goals, so the hockey team did not win the hockey match. I didn't think the team looked any different or anything was all that terrible. They just, those guys didn't score. And right now, the team is in a position where if they don't, they've got two lines of players where they're like, you guys just don't get scored on. We'll wait for those guys to score. The other guys didn't score. That was it.
I was really excited about the emotion of the hockey game at the start where it was really feisty.
In Ottawa, Leafs fans all over the building.
100%. Felt like it was really building towards a potential cross-check to the face type of game. Like it just really kind of felt like that had the potential. You know, with Nick Cousins doing what he did to poor Jacob Quillen and all this different stuff, it felt like it really was bubbling up. And then it just kind of went away.
Like and early just, on, like Reeves and Chuck were in it. It was just, like, oh, this is going to get good.
And it just really felt like it was bubbling up. And it just, the emotion just wasn't there for me after that. I felt like it just really quieted down and went away.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's overview of the game Saturday night, and we'll follow it up.
Well, we didn't. I mean, we had a lot of opportunities. We didn't put it in the net. I think that's the difference. I thought our team played hard. We were ready to go. Thought we did a lot of good things except score. I mean, we had a lot of, and we got better as the game went along.
Yeah, I agree with him. They got better as the game went along, but I didn't like the Leafs start at all. No. They were hemmed in the first shift. And just to go back to Marner and Matthews, I don't know. I can't recall seeing Marner worse all season long.
Oh, you didn't like him?
No, didn't like him at all. Didn't like...
You know what's very funny about this is I didn't think Matthews was great. So here we go.
But they weren't very good together.
Yeah.
And all the things that Craig Berube was talking about bringing more emotion and, you know, getting off to a good start, like, didn't see it out of the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to your point, Austin didn't even get his first shot on goal till about 13 minutes left in the third period.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
Well, and it's funny, too, because they did score fairly early. Was it like 6 minutes in or something? Marner passed it to McMahon.
The only pass that
fantastic
I saw.
Fantastic pass.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
Right to the slot.
The rest of them kind of, you know, didn't connect. Like, see them connect.
It did feel like a game where, to your point, Sam, like in like the 1990s or even 2000s, where this game gets contentious and feisty. And it does feel sometimes like the Leafs top line doesn't have that bite, and they never will. That's just the way they are, of whether it's Brady Tkachuk or it's Nathan MacKinnon or whatever. It's kind of a low desperation game for a game that, you know, it wasn't that desperate. You don't have to win that game, but it should have mattered more than it looked like it did.
I think there's a lot of these games where it's such a huge game for the Sens, and it's such a huge game for the Habs, and they ended up blowing the lead to the Leafs, but they come out like a house on fire, where it's so important for them in their building with 80% Leaf fans to come out here and play great, and it's the Super Bowl for them, and all the Leaf fans feel that way, mm-hmm. but the players on the ice don't. Like, I really don't get the feeling. Like, you know, we talked a little bit about this on Leafs Talk after the game, and I'll run it by you. But, you know, Austin Matthews this week calls out the fans for being quiet. And, you know, it's an in-person thing for not being loud during a fight. And he thought there wasn't a lot of energy in the building. And it may not be a direct call out of the fan base. But that's the way it's taken. And it's been talked about or whatever. Like, it was a big talking point. And then to go into that game with all that emotion and the way you're fighting and, like, just everything, like, and then just to have nothing from him.
So it
rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
Maybe the pressure to interview the fans last night and saying, listen, it would have been nice if Austin showed more.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, this is happening right now. That's what this is.
Everyone.
Opposites day.
Yeah. Well, listen, everybody, would it have killed you to just cross check someone in the lower back or just be pissed off or like pretend to be pissed off? Everyone's at each other's throats for the first 10 minutes of the game, and there's just zero emotion in it.
Every game we've watched Austin and go, something's wrong, or he must be hurt. That's what he looked like Saturday night.
It starts like that, yeah. You know, when he's really good is taking pucks away from people, yeah.
And he's got a jump. He's got a spring.
He's on people quickly with that stick.
He's got a step.
Yeah.
And it was like gone Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not.
But you didn't like Marner. I thought he had the puck a lot. Maybe he's just throwing it away a little bit.
I'm just used to seeing him really good all the time.
Yeah, standards are high.
Both of them.
Right?
But it's crazy because, like, you know, we're talking about those guys because it didn't work for them that night. For the best guys on every team, it doesn't work for them sometimes.
For sure.
That's the way it goes. But you need to have something when it's not going great for them.
And that's what Brady Tkachuk has. And I'm not comparing
Brady. He's obviously
Brady,
a unique player.
I'm not comparing Brady to Austin Matthews, but
I even mean the rest of the lineup, though. But go ahead.
But, like, there has to be other ways that you can still get noticed if it's not happening on a game sheet.
Yeah.
And that's where you're looking for something, and it's not the edge that a Brady or a Matthew Tkachuk could bring, but I like Max and him kind of going at it. And at the end of the day, if Max finished the game last night and said, listen, like, I was in Brady's face all night and He didn't kill us. Mm-hmm. He didn't beat us tonight. Mm. You know, I did my job.
Yeah.
I was in his face. I distracted him. He didn't kill us on the score sheet. Okay. I did my job. Mm-hmm. Right. Where was everybody else?
Yeah. There's so many guys. So Max has something he can do when he's not scoring. He has something that can contribute. And I've said this 100 times in the show and people are like, we know Bourne, but they have so many guys who you don't require anything from. You don't, Pontus Holmberg, you just don't want him to mess up, right? David Camp, play good defense, do the same thing. Steven Lorenz, just, kill penalties. They have way too many guys in the lineup. Minton, Reeves, Quillen last night.
Punts,
complete punt guys where you're like, all right, as long as this line doesn't kill us. It's like, even when the Leafs in the past have had third lines you don't love, it's Kasha and it's Engvall and it's Kerfoot. Like, it was like, oh, they're only getting 10 or 15 this year. Mm-hmm. Not zero. You can't get zero like you're getting from some of these guys. Absolutely nothing. So that's killing them right now.
And you mentioned,
obviously, you're missing guys too. You're injured, so that's a big part of it.
And Borny sent a text in our group chat on Saturday night, and it's just something I noticed as well throughout that game, where I know why Brady Tkachuk doesn't have any goals for 10 games. It's like, he's not playing hockey half the game. It's like, he's just so focused on asserting his dominance. But then I want to criticize him for it, but I'd kill an aspect of that from some of the Leafs starts. So it's a tough balance, but he's just pushing and running around and like not playing hockey for some of the
game. Honestly, after whistles, I find it like high school shoving with your buddies, immature. Like, just go line up for the next draw sometime.
He has to find that line for sure, and he's still not there.
Like, he's not.
I totally agree with you.
There's a hockey game happening around you while you're trying to like...
And he's far too talented.
Right.
Right.
Like, he should be getting 40 goals in his sleep. Standing at the net,
one
chipping pucks. Yeah.
And it's like a big, huge
his first goal
monster.
In 9 or 10 games. That's...
We can all agree Bobby McMahon can look pretty good as a frontline guy in terms of running shotgun with top players like Matthews and Marner. He didn't look out of place.
No, he can do it. He can do it for sure. Let's go to Bruby. We got a clip on that. Clip 4, please.
Yeah, I thought he skated really well, but he had 6 shots on that, I think. He scored, obviously, but that line was good. I mean, Bobby looked fine up there to me.
It's crazy how important he is to this team.
Yeah, you look at 75% of the Leafs' goals have been scored by 6 guys, him being one of the 6.
Listen, I don't know what other options there are, but you guys know how I felt like for a year and a half that... It's still a very difficult ask for Bobby McMahon or Matthew Nyes to step in and be like top players for the Toronto Maple Leafs to win a Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And if they falter or come short, it's not really entirely on them. It's just how much can you bite off and chew at this point in their careers where... They should still be developing to better players.
I get your point. It's just like every roster in the cap era is like, this got some flaws. There's some soft spots. And if you were to pick where you'd have it, you wouldn't pick goalie. You wouldn't pick defense. You wouldn't pick center. You'd be like, I guess wing. So they're soft at one of the wings.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you want to go? You want to go to the non-challenge?
So... Play the clip, and then we'll talk about it after, okay? So
this is the goal that stood as the game-winning goal Saturday night.
Was there any temptation at all to challenge the winner from Ottawa?
I can't challenge that. That's an upstairs call by the league. They looked at it and said it was a good goal.
Yeah.
You can't challenge that?
No. Unless you challenge a kicking motion, which I guess is something you can...
Well, did they not challenge it against, like when Lorenz got his call back earlier in the year against the Caps, that was a challenge, wasn't it? So I don't know.
Isn't there a certain point in the game where everything gets looked at and it's...
Anyways.
But it did get looked at, it sounded like, by the league.
The league.
And not
the
stopped.
The league thought it was a good goal.
Yeah.
Did you?
I had to look at it 2 or 3 times. And then at the end, yes, it was a good goal. There was no kicking motion.
I know that Sam is going to bring up the Lorenz goal that got called off earlier in the season, right?
No, I'm going to say that, is there a kicking motion involved with the goal?
No.
There was.
No, there was not.
His it hits him, and then his leg
comes in contact.
After.
It was like a doctor's knee reflex test.
After. The puck was well
a millisecond
gone.
After?
No.
When you slow it down to the super, super duper slow-mo, sure. But his leg literally kicks like he's Messi. Comes right up.
Doesn't matter if he kicks it up 100 times. It had nothing to do with
so then,
shooting the goal in the net.
It hit him in the knee and went off his knee. And then he was trying to kick it in.
And then he tried to
The puck
was gone.
Okay, I understand that. But then why isn't the rule for no kicking to protect guys around the crease, lifting up skates, all this stuff? It's like, if that's not going to be where you elevate your skate 3 inches off the ice after you kick at a puck, after it hits
off
your leg.
You want 2 minutes for attempted kicking?
No, just not, doesn't count. And like, I've watched it 100 times. I've seen it 100 times. I understand what we're getting at here. But to me, with the puck going in off his leg, combined with him trying to kick it, the puck went in with a kicking motion. There's a kicking motion. To me. And the puck went in without touching the sticks. Anyways.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I would have challenged.
It's not a tough one.
It is.
He's just wrong.
Yeah, right? That's fine.
He's just wrong about any motion.
Kipper, it's the first time for everything, brother.
Anybody can have any motion after a puck's nowhere near them.
It bangs him in the knee and goes in the net. And regardless of what he's trying or thinking there, I think it's a goal.
Like in baseball, swing the air and shouldn't get a penalty.
Yeah. You're off scot-free.
I don't know. I don't feel like arguing.
One of those ones too, where it's like, if you're down to quibbling over one whistle you disagree with in the game, it's too close. You know, you got to be better than that.
So. All right,
was there or was there not a kicking motion
after the puck?
Yeah,
separate was there, from the event.
Was it a kick?
No,
he didn't kick. He didn't kick his leg.
He did after the puck
bounced off of him.
Okay. So he might as well hit him in the shoulder, gone in, then he kicked. You know, it's unrelated to the puck going into me.
Okay. The hit, Nick Cousins, on young Jacob.
Talk about a guy who gets no benefit of the doubt from Cousins, in my opinion. How do you not kick him out of the game?
How do you? I love our Sportsnet family here, but did you really need to go to his mom right away? I was like, Jesus.
Oh, that was tough.
I couldn't.
It breaks into the league. Was it his first shift?
It was first or second. I had to look
at Cousins
as soon as they went to her.
Career?
I honestly was swung away from the TV.
That's signature hockey night in Canada.
That was really good.
They nailed it.
Because all I can think of, you think your own mom walking in that moment just being like, dreams finally come true and have them just ripped away from you.
Now, I did catch Kevin Bieksa talk about it in the first intermission. We love Kevin.
We disagree?
Totally disagree with him. Mm. Totally. Because he brought in a couple of comparables I think don't match up.
Yeah.
Totally don't match up. And two were the blind hits on Booth and... Savard.
Was it Mike Richards on Booth and Matt Cook on Savard?
Yeah, and those were like legitimate blind side hits where you are a predator, you are hiding in the weeds, and then you're going to go out and hurt someone. And he also mentioned Saturday night, and again, we love Kevin Bieksa, but I thought he couldn't have been more wrong about he's just trying to make a hit. No, Nick Cousins is trying to take Jacob's head off with the most cleanest hit that he could come up with. Do I think he's going in there with the purpose of trying to hurt his knee?
No.
Do I think he wants to go and catch him cutting in the middle of the ice? Yes.
And when you mistime that hit, you're on the hook for the damages done.
And totally. Like, do you know how good you have to be to pull off one of those hits? Like, the timing, the precision
of an open hit
like that?
Yeah.
It is not easy.
I've tried. It's very hard.
You know, and, you know, Jacob, too, was not in the direction of Booth.
Right.
He was not in the direction of Savard where they're facing the net. He's coming in the middle of the ice, and he should see Cousins.
Yeah.
So now we're almost dealing with a north-south hit that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that Cousins, I wouldn't take my eye off of him with 1 second, because that guy is out there to hurt people.
Yeah. It's welcome to the NHL. Here's the league's most dangerous player.
Really? And like, and what you say there makes sense, but he missed with the chicken wing and then he sticks out the leg. Like, it was the double whammy.
Listen, he
knew he was missing and he tried to make contact.
I'm telling you,
he had him in the trolleys.
Yeah.
He did. He had him.
Puts the elbow
up and cut back.
And he cut back at the last second. And then I thought Cousins bailed as well. And that is a classic knee on knee when you almost have two guys bailing at the last second. Cousins didn't have I don't think he had the confidence to stay in that lane and just take him head on.
And did Cousins stay in the game, or was
he?
No, he left.
Yeah, he left.
Yeah. They didn't come back.
So
I mean,
I felt initially felt like
he had the clip.
Yeah,
I mean, he sticks the leg right out.
Yeah, initially I thought he was sympathy hunting, making sure didn't want to. You know, can't get mad at me. I'm the hurt one. But
he's lucky. The season isn't over.
Well, for sure. If I'm being 100% honest, one of my first thoughts was like he's going to be collecting an NHL paycheck for a long time, because that to me looked like he'd be on the IR and
he came back out.
That's like, it was never really truly spoken, but like I would be in the minors and I'd hear guys having conversations. If I get up there, I'm getting hurt.
Yeah. I'm going to collect a month's pay.
I'm collecting NHL money for as long as I can.
It definitely happens.
How do you not kick him out of the game? I mean, like, how do you not get a 5 minute?
He
didn't get anything.
I don't know.
Major minor, whatever you want to do. He goes unpunished for that is absurd.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's a flashpoint moment, the middle of the ice, the puck's right there. Anyways.
Later in the show, we're going to have Craig Simpson on, which looking forward to that. And we do have other stuff to talk about. But I feel like during the Leafs Hour, we should talk about Rantanen a little bit because of how it affects Marner, who...
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
How quick did those conversations come up?
Well...
Like, people are sending me now, could the Toronto Maple Leafs trade Mitch Marner before the NHL trade deadline?
Yeah.
Well, no. Because if he doesn't want to go, then he doesn't have to go.
Right.
It's a very big difference here.
And I actually don't have anything new to offer on it, aside from, I think we kind of know what we've known about the Marner thing, right? It's going to come down to what he prioritizes. Is it money? Is it staying in Toronto?
No, I think it's safe to say the Leafs are trying to sign him right now.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so would that be related to Rantanen then, or?
Listen, if you look at these two guys, they two of the best wingers now in the league.
Yep.
And
no doubt about it.
And they happen to be, as of now, available July 1st.
Yeah.
So the comparables are right there.
Yeah. I think it would be the right thing to do. And I'm glad to hear that. I think it's the right time. Everyone's talking about it. You'd like to not, leave it all the way to the end.
Okay. If you were Brad for a living, and this is like you've had a couple Coors Lights at your local Boston Pizza, and it was me and him talking, and Mitch Marner didn't have, like, in the conversation where he didn't have the no move, and he had the, what is it, what did Rantanen have?
No trade.
Was it 19 teams that he couldn't be traded to? I forget what the number was, but he had a limited. Do you think that they would ever consider something like this, like midseason? Because I cannot believe the Avs did it. I truly cannot believe they did it. Like, I'm stunned by it.
Reading my trade board, you were still stunned?
I mean, listen. Literally our guy came out and told us what was happening.
Like, what?
By the way, let's take a moment. For all the people who are haters and doubters on some of these trade boards, no one had that but you first.
The haters and doubters are sick,
yeah.
I will say.
Yeah, where are they now? Number one on the trade board. Going, I had people say, that was out of left field, wasn't it? No. It wasn't.
Listen, I love you, bud. I didn't see it coming. I still was like, there's no way. But you've been hitting at this all year. But I just can't believe that, like, people are like, these Leafs should do this with Mitch, whatever. It's like, the Avs shouldn't have done it with Rantanen.
That
why did they do that?
That, you're 100% right.
Like, do you hear McKinnon on it? He was like, I don't care if he gets paid more than me.
Like, yes.
Buddy, that's absolutely the right answer.
Do you think it's the right, true answer?
What's that?
Do you think it's true?
I do. I think he's smart enough to see that the cap situation has changed.
Let me give you my definition of a true leader in an NHL dressing room. Okay? And that is the scenario I would picture if Nate MacKinnon was a true leader in that room, mm-hmm. would go up to Mikko Rantanen and say, "Hey, buddy, listen. If these guys don't pay you what you're worth, then get out of here as fast as you can." Okay? It's not, "I really need you and, try to stay and let's try to win more Stanley Cups," because that's nothing but a selfish guy looking at it through Nate MacKinnon. It's what's good for Nate is if he sticks around. But we are all in this business because we love it. But
sounds like we're in it for money.
The number one priority, I'm telling you, and it doesn't get often said, but in those dressing rooms, is get your money. Get your money. And that's what Nate should be have told Rantanen.
Well,
you feel undervalued, you feel unappreciated, they're trying to jam it down your throats, get out of here as fast as you can.
Yeah, I'm not on board with that, Kip. I don't feel that at all.
You may not feel it,
yeah.
But that's what goes on in rooms.
I would say, you know,
because I've heard them. I've heard it countless times, yeah, in every NHL dressing room I've been in.
But you can't talk. You're talking about leadership and winning, and people have different priorities. And if someone's priorities are every nickel, that's fine. And that's fine. You can respect that, whatever. But it's not everyone's priority. Some of them, like MacKinnon said in a lot of these interviews, for him, it's winning. That's what his top priority is. Sidney Crosby, obviously, the most recent example of a massive pay cut.
But you can't hang it on somebody else.
No, you can't.
Right?
No, you can't. Absolutely. And so it depends. And so that's the same with Marner. If Marner's priority is getting every bit of what his value is, then yeah, maybe it's not going to be here, and he can go get that value somewhere else. If he prioritizes the city, or he thinks he has a better chance to win somewhere else, it comes down to a choice of what is your priority. And I think people's priorities differ.
Yeah. In terms of Colorado, they showed Rantanen zero respect. Zero.
How so?
They just refused to pay him anything that remotely looked like a fair deal.
Mm-hmm. What do you think their top offer to him would have been? Like, would they got up to MacKinnon's 12.5 or whatever? No. That's
they didn't have to.
Preposterous.
They didn't have to.
What do you mean they didn't have to?
They didn't have to.
Why?
Because Rantanen told them, I don't have to make as much as MacKinnon.
That's what Rantanen said. I want more than that, and they said, "We're not going to do that." And
No. This whole I need $14 million like Leon Draisaitl was all BS.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened. Never was discussed. Just they thought that there should have been at least something past Pasternak's contract of what, 2 years ago?
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
And they said no.
And you know, that's really dumb. That's so dumb. You know, like you look at the past, if you're with the Rantanen camp, you go, the salary cap situation has changed significantly from that.
Don't care.
Well, it doesn't matter. They get to say they don't care, but that's what's dumb.
Thank you.
Super triple dumb.
Thank you.
There's like 12 good players in the league.
Yeah.
You know, you have two of them. Hey. Don't
you have three
let
of them
go. And I realize.
You have three.
You have three. That's right. That comes back to the Marner thing where it's like, I've said a lot of things about Marner and have my opinions and playoffs and yada, yada. I have also said, I think it's best if you just sign him. You know, it's just, there's not that many of these guys. I don't see how you're better without them. And I feel that way about Colorado.
And as much as we can sit there and say, hey, they got some value back. And Martin Natchez got a few points the other night.
And they'll probably turn the picks they got into a player, I would imagine.
But that Rantanen, if you look at his playoff history,
he's got unbelievable playoff numbers.
Beast. Irreplaceable.
Yeah.
I think Mikko Rantanen, I was looking at his HockeyDB over the weekend, in 81 playoff games, he has 101 points.
Yeah, and he's fourth in total points going back to 5 years or something. Like,
and,
it's, And he's 28.
Martin and he's big. In 59 playoffs games, has 30 points, 11 goals. He's kind of had a history of going the other way in the playoffs. So,
tough,
anyways.
Man. But here's what if I'm McFarland, they must have had some inkling he didn't want to re-sign there. Or they're just, we're going to be too far apart. Because I do feel, like, let's say we're sitting here to start the show. It's October 5th next year. And the Leafs are holding nothing in the bag because Marner just left. And meanwhile, Colorado's got Natchez, Drury, and whatever player they get for their picks.
Yeah.
It's going, well, who did better there?
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's different depending on who, if you win a cup.
It was the opposite. He really wanted to stay.
Boy, that doesn't look good on McFarland then. That's there. There's the complete pick.
Really, he loved it there. He's been 10 years there.
Well, and him and McKinnon were boys.
Sure.
They were boys. Like, they weren't just, like, line mates.
Yeah.
Like, they hung out socially outside. Ugh.
But to your point, and just to bring it back into our Leaf hour, how are you going to replace Marner?
Yeah, I don't
if you're
think
the Leafs.
Yeah, I don't think you're better. There's no chance.
If he walked out the door.
And I don't know how many times I need to say it, but I do think there's going to be a playoff run. Like, I think he's too good a player for it to, you know, he's just going to never be good in playoffs. He's too good. So,
well, you can still have a great first round and they could lose.
Very possible. Very possible. But I do think that would change the calculus on re-signing him or not. Like, if he at least held up his end of the bargain, you'd go, okay, well.
We need another hour to have that conversation.
Well, listen, if we piece together all our Marner conversations going back to October, we'd have many, many hours.
Let's go to break.
Okay. Still plenty to get into, including Stanley Cup champion twice. Craig Simpson does a terrific job on Hockey Night in Canada. We'll get his thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs and maybe his thoughts on the big trade as well. Plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee just caught a glimpse of a picture of the current Toronto Maple Leafs outside. They're doing the outdoor game we did yesterday, or outdoor practice at the Prince of Wales rink in Etobicoke, and it's like nothing but the skyline.
Very cool.
And the CN Tower in the background. Yeah, if anybody gets a chance, go find it. It is one, and the sun's out too. Nothing
cool that
better.
Cool that they do that. I love them. Yeah.
Just rubbing it in our faces.
That we're in here.
But we had a great day yesterday as well.
Oh, is it cool?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Good weather for it.
All right. A guy that knows a few outdoor games over his career as well. The one that started it all was the Heritage Classic in Edmonton. Let's welcome in Craig Simpson, former NHLer, Edmonton Oiler, Hockey Night in Canada. How are you, Simmer?
Hey, boys. I'm doing great. Not near a TV, so I can't see Sammy, but I'm hoping he's still okay listening to you there before. Sammy probably had to go for a little walk and cool himself down. And Sammy, you know what? It's not a coach's challenge play. So Craig Berube is right. He couldn't do anything about it. The Situation Room did look at the leg movement. And I agree with Kipper and Borney that, you know, it is a good goal, but he could do a cartwheel after it hit him and it doesn't matter. Like, I know your kicking motion is driving you nuts, but it had nothing to do with the play. So, and the Lorenz one in Washington was also that. It wasn't a coach's challenge. It was the Situation Room looking at it and going for it. So sorry, man, but it happens that way.
This is why you're one of the top analysts in the game right now, because you can tell Sammy that in about 15 seconds.
And we
took about 25 minutes.
Simmer, I was wrong. There's a first time for everything, buddy.
All right. That sounds good. And he wants to direct the next Saturday night, too. You know, when that hit came for Quillen, my first thought was mom and dad, too.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
a parent there. It's the most exciting day for your kid, and you're just thrilled. And the second time on the ice that happens, I was so happy to see him hang in there. And I know he didn't play a whole lot after, but, man, that could have been so bad.
So Saturday night, I think Leaf fans would have enjoyed maybe a cartwheel or two if it meant scoring some goals in the other end. What is it with this hockey club? Either they go big or they go home with the struggles.
Yeah, you know, I listen to you guys again, and you're saying, you're right. If the number on the back isn't 88 or 34 or 16, it doesn't look like you have a whole lot of chance to win games right now. And you know, you have to find a way to get some production out of somebody else. It's just, you know, that's not a recipe. Those are the guys that have to be the best every night. You're expecting them to be able to chip in. But it is that stretch. And, you know, I think even both coaches were talking about it Saturday that this is the dog days of the season. You know, there's been a lot of hockey. You're into that 50-game mark. January kind of has the blues after having an exciting time with your families around Christmas and New Year's. And it always, for me anyways, was one that this is a tough time where it's harder to get that energy up to be great each and every night. And, you know, this is that time where you look around and good teams find a way to win some of those games with a third line or a fourth line that can chip in. How about a defenseman that mm-hmm. can chip in? You know, that's another factor. So many of the last couple of games that have been tight games going into the third period where they've either been down by one or tied at a critical time. And I just can't help but think what it does to a bench when a D-man jumps up and gets involved and scores. You know, there's goals that obviously every goal is important, but there's goals that matter more. And in these types of games where the offense isn't coming and it's a tight checking and you're getting a matchup against the Matthews line or, you know, Nylander hasn't had five breakaways in the game, you know, the impact it has on your bench when a fourth liner, like if Lorenz goes out and gets a goal or heavens, if Reeves happens to get one, and, you know, or if Domi puts one in the back of the net. But when a D-man can make a play and jump in and get a big goal, I think back to when the streak was finally broken where they hadn't had a goal in, what, December, and McCabe jumped up and made a great play and made an unreal shot. And I know what that does to the bench. You know what it's like, guys. It lifts everybody up. That's been missing, and that is an element of the game that really does make a difference and can change some of those games that you're having trouble scoring goals in and allow you to find a way to win some of them.
I just want to follow up on that a little bit, Zimmer, and you're totally right. But now I'm starting to watch other lineups and some teams just have real natural guys. And the one thing again that stood out to me and you know, I'd love your thoughts on is that when I'm watching Saturday night and all, it may appear to be a close score, but I'm watching Sanderson and Shabbat continuously yep. be that guy for Ottawa, like constantly. It's not like yep. once in a blue moon you see McCabe jump up or once in a blue moon you see Tanev jump up. It's just in their DNA. And that yep. and the one guy that the Leafs thought that they had this season was Morgan Rielly to do that, but we know he's struggling. Outside of that, they really don't have that guy.
No, they don't, and you're right of what it does to the game. It can be the, you know, easy breakout under pressure. Sanderson a couple of times, you know, just wheeled with the puck, used the net as good defensemen do to stop the pressure he had from behind him. But you also know, Nick, you get a matchup where you got a guy like that with speed that jumps up. As a winger, it's like, oh, do I go with him or do I stay back? You know, it's who's my coverage in the zone. It just causes so much chaos, and it has been lacking greatly. I think Ekman Larson, you know, he's on a four-game streak, so there's a little bit of offense from your back end. He's been trying to do it a little bit, but it hasn't been something that's just natural and a part of every game. And Morgan, quite frankly, all year, he hasn't had that confidence and hasn't had that look that he's gonna has the ability to grab the puck behind his own net and just make something happen. And it doesn't always have to be a goal, but man, when you're playing in the other end, it's a heck of a lot more fun than when you're trapped in yours. And so many, like you said, Shabbat and Sanderson, they did it numerous times, and they're a threat. You know, you get that defenseman going all the way down to the offensive zone and swinging behind the net, and, you know, a lot of crisscrosses. That's where the coverage can get mixed up, and that's really been missing in the back end for the Leafs all season long.
Zimmer, as much as we can talk kind of around the edges about what the Leafs will need to have postseason success, I think we all agree it has to come from their most important players. What are your thoughts on Matthews? Not the whole season so much as where he's at now. Do you think he's back in a place where we can fairly judge his performance separate from the injury?
I agree with you earlier on where I thought that was the most invisible he's been since he's been back.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it. Chris and I, after the game, were talking, and I looked at each other and said, like, I don't think I said Matthew's name more than twice during the game. And it was one that he wasn't, as you've said, attacking and stripping guys of puck and jumping on the loose puck and getting there first and winning the battle. I thought he has looked a lot more like himself during this, 10, 11 games back now. So to me, maybe it's just a one-off, and you certainly hope so. But early on, there's no question that, you know, shots that you sort of raise your eyebrow and go, oh, man, what a shot that was, weren't happening early on. He's sitting now, I know he hasn't played all 50, but what, he's 34, 35 games in, and he's got two multi-goal games. I mean, last year was a special year, but he had 18. And so that's not by coincidence. You know teams are going to pay more attention to him, but they've been doing that for 9 years. So that's not anything new and anything that he hasn't been able to overcome. I would hope that Saturday was maybe just a one-off, and I guess we'll find out on Wednesday if he looks back more like himself. But I was starting to feel that, Justin, that he looked like the player that you're accustomed to watch, and maybe Saturday's just, you know, one of those nights that it didn't happen.
Simmer, if we look at where we are in the standings, and you're going to blink, and it's over, and I could easily ask you, what can you do differently on the power play? But aren't we really beyond that for the Toronto Maple Leafs? And are we now in the window of almost Brad Treliving doing something, adding somebody, anything that can maybe shake it up? Or is the answer still within? Because we saw a huge trade, and I'm not suggesting there's a huge trade out there for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but you've been a part of a team when maybe subtle things have been enough sometimes to kind of turn things around.
I think, interestingly enough, I'm not a big, I always say stats are for losers. That's what Glenn Sather always said, because you can turn them into whatever you want. You can take either side to make it look good or make it not look as bad. January in 12 games hasn't been terrible. They've been 26.5% in the month of January. But I would say, and I think Craig has said it in some post-game remarks, it's the big time and the big game when it's on the line and you get a power play or two in a row and nothing happens. It's more about situational. They have not been able to say in a key game or a key moment in a game where you go, we get a power play, it's in the back of the net. Not to look at other teams, but quite frankly, that's the Edmonton Oilers. That's McDavid and Draisaitl when you're down by two and you get back-to-back power plays and you score on both of them and you're back in a hockey game. That, to me, has really been missing in their special teams is the timely ones. Forget about what the overall percentage of your power play is. And, you want it to be in that 25% would be unreal range. But it's more, does it win you games? And can you get the power play when you need it? Do you have that kind of intensity that, you've got the chance to win the game, let's go win it. And I think there's still too much passing on the outside. Teams are not being nearly as aggressive at times. They're aggressive on the entries, and that has caused some problems as well. But good penalty-killing teams always are. They stand up at the line. They attack you when you just get over. They pin you on the boards there and usually go with two and sometimes three guys, and that makes it difficult to get the setup. But when they've had the setup, teams have tried to collapse to the middle. They're not allowing a pass from the left side over to Matthews when he's on the right. They're not allowing anything through from Marner, into Nylander on a similar type play. So to me, you've got to have a shot somewhere. And the one thing I would say this power play does, as good as a shot Matthews has, there is nobody at the top who's going to, in our time in Edmonton, Chris Pronger, you're not getting a bomb there that just changes something. I always said, too, if you're not getting shots through, break someone's ankle first. Get in and force a guy to make a hard block. Now he's going to be a little bit more cautious. Now you've got a chance to fake a shot and open up a passing lane. But tell me the last time you've seen a big bomb anywhere on that power play. And that is something that, not every team has. But that's something to me that's really been missing, is that shot mentality from the top that opens up the lanes when you now attack later because you've got that threat there.
Yeah, it's you know, I remember hearing about Dennis Potvin on my dad's teams. They're saying if a guy would drop and block a shot, he'd happily shoot it at their face the first time, yeah, so it doesn't happen
exactly.
again. And you've seen Ovi do that too, where he just pounds it into a D three times till the guy's not there for the fourth one. So I don't think that's coming anytime soon. You know, quick one for you here, Craig, before we let you go, just the Leafs are statistically on point to be the same team they've been the past 6 years, 7 years, yeah. In terms of the standings. Do you see anything about their style this year? Do you feel differently about the Leafs because of Craig Berube or in any way they're constructed? Or do you feel it's a pretty similar team headed to a similar, I don't want to say fate, but time of year?
Right. It is a similar team. I think, you know, there are some indications that they are a better defending team. Mm-hmm. But you guys look at the losses. They've been heartbreaking in the playoffs. You know, how many times do you have to go to seven games and lose? But in those six, you know, seventh game losses, it hasn't been their defense that's abandoned them. They can't score. They can't score in those big moments. And I think the stat in the sixth game, they've scored eight goals, right? When it matters. And so you're one a game. And when you need the big performance, it hasn't been their defense that has really abandoned them. It's been their offense. And look at what we've just been talking here in those key moments in the games that are tight games, Saturday being a great example. You know, that game Saturday was, you could go back to Boston in a game seven, to Montreal in a game seven, to the other Boston in a game seven, to Tampa in a game seven. They haven't been able to score at the key time. And if you only are relying on three guys to put the puck in the net, or if Tavares is back in four, you know, that's, you don't get a Nick Paul scoring two goals in a game seven. Like, who's that guy right now? And that would be my concern, is are you the same team in that way? You know, maybe this is the year that all four of the top guys break out and all have yeah. great playoffs and, for 20 games.
And Bobby McMahon steps up, right?
And nice right. scores.
Right? You know. Exactly. Hey, Simmer, always great stuff when you're on our show. So appreciate it, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Simmer. Appreciate that.
Craig Simpson, Hockey Night in Canada.
God, he's good.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. 447, can you, Derek, get the clip where he says stats are for losers? We're going to need that.
you know, you're right. No, and Simmer, no. Nobody to break any ankles back there shooting the puck.
No. Well, it's...
And I'm watching Sanderson yeah. control. Like,
you know, I'm surprised you didn't say that. You want a guy that's up for the Leafs? I feel like you don't like that.
It would change everything.
Klingberg got away.
It would change. It would change the dynamics of, and the pressure. I think of three guys up front having to do it themselves.
Yeah, that's all. So one thing that has been different. Morgan's played with Jake McCabe for three games now. I've liked him more. He's looked mm-hmm. better. He's had 11 yeah. shot attempts. I feel like over those yeah. three games.
The one thing a little concerning too, again, to play Craig Berube's style. You got to be on it. You cannot hesitate. Like the one thing that I watched, and I'll include Matthews because I thought he was the worst at it, is like they're not getting in on the forecheck. And if you're going to go up against the Sandersons of the world or the Quinn Hughes, Shabbat last Saturday or Saturday night, and you're not on top of them, mm-hmm. all three strides and they're out of the zone.
Yeah,
and there's no forecheck. Yeah, there's nothing.
They're pretty good against Quinn Hughes that one game, but last night, not getting in after.
Not so getting
it's
in.
So important to just stop the
it's
breakout.
It's just like it's one in, one out. That's it. Okay, our thanks to Craig Simpson moments ago for joining us on Hockey Night or from Hockey Night in Canada. And we continue in our national hour. We'll go to Elliot Friedman. We'll get a lot more dirt on the big trade, mm-hmm. the blockbuster Friday night between Colorado and Carolina. That when we return, our national hour. Don't go away.